And we're going to be doing a recap, or just a brief recap of what we did last week. But Christoph asked that let's look at the second part of what we did last week and focus a bit on that. He feels that there's a, it's important. And last week, just as a bit of a recap, those that were not here, we were talking about knowing God and making Him known. And we connected that with the scripture of love your God with all your heart, all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we're going to be looking this Sunday at loving your neighbor, becoming a better neighbor, so to speak, if I can put it that way. So we're going to be looking at how can we be a better neighbor, and why is it important? So the scripture comes from Luke 10:27, and someone painted this picture for me, and it made so much sense. He says that kind of it's the greatest command, so we know it's important, and on it, it's got two hinges, basically, to hold this door up. Love God and love your neighbor. And so just a reminder that it cannot be separated. Loving God, as a result of loving God, we love our neighbor. And if we take one of those hinges away, the door is absolutely useless. So we need to know that either way, both hinges need to be operating. But for the sake of this Sunday, we're going to be looking at one of the hinges, and that is loving our neighbor, becoming a better neighbor. So we know in the scripture that it's extremely important. God said in Luke 10 that all the prophets and all the law hang on this scripture. He also said in Luke 10, verse 28, he said, this is life-giving. He said, if you will do this, you will receive life. So we realize that this is extremely important. It needs to be done. It needs to be attended to. It needs to be prayed through. It needs to be grasped. And Rick, I think Rick Ross, or I don't know how you pronounce his surname, but he said, we need to become better at the things that matter most to Jesus. And according to his scripture, this is the greatest command. It's important to them. And we need to become better at doing that. So we're going to be looking at a few practical ways. How can we become a better neighbor? How can we serve better? We looked last week that serving as a tool to become a better neighbor. Serving just practical needs that we see around us. And so... we're going to do this, as I said, informally. But just to recap quickly, last week, if you weren't here, we asked, where's the three places that you spend most of your time? Think about the three places that you spend most of your time. And in those places, think about a couple of people that you come across constantly in these places. And these are the people that we want to learn how to serve better. We want to become better neighbors with these individuals around us constantly. So, I've got a question. And I challenged myself with a question. And I think it's good now and then to ask ourselves challenging questions. And I asked myself, sure, if I had to leave these areas where I was consistently at, whether it be work, whether it be home, whether it be wherever it is that we're finding ourselves most consistently, would I be missed? And not necessarily my job, what I'm doing, the skills that I have, the person that I am, rather. How am I encouraging those around me? How am I serving those around me? Or am I? And if I have to just suddenly disappear tomorrow, would I be missed or wouldn't I? And we've got to be asking ourselves that question. If we disappear from our areas where we are most consistently found, would we be missed? And if we think, well, if I go, you know, I'm just replaceable, and it's true. But are we bringing any value where we're at? And I really hope that after a couple of stories and testimonies and a few practical ways, we'll be able to look back and say, well, I'm going to head out here, and I'm going to become a better neighbor. I'm going to be serving according to God's word. And it really comes out of a place of this love that never fails, the scripture that we read this morning. God is really speaking, and he's saying, listen, my love is a reality, and as a result of that, you can love me, and you can love your neighbor. So let that be the foundation of our moving forward. Let that be the inspiration, our motivation. The reason is simply as a result of coming in face to face with the Lord and saying, sure, Lord, I see your love. I experience it. I long for more of that. I want to love you back, and I want to love my neighbor. And so these are the hinges that we need to be opening and closing this door on. So, one of the reasons why we're looking at, and there's many tools of making God known or being a better neighbor. One of the reasons why we're looking at the neighbor part is because it is a way of life. It is not a, I'm walking in and I'm doing a program and then I'm walking out. Being a better neighbor is an everyday life thing. It's all the time with everyone that is around us consistently. And that's why I believe that this is one of the most effective ways in kingdom, is because it's consistent. Programs and outreaches, fantastic. Small things that we do and courses that we attend, amazing. It's definitely a part of it. But I think the most effective way is any way that is consistent. And our everyday life is consistent. And being a better neighbor is going to be effective. So, I'm going to, and please, by all means, after listening to a couple of stories from myself and Clayton's going to share, if you've got one, feel free to come and share how you've served in the community, and as a result, it's built relationship, and as a result, you're walking a road and revealing God's heart and his character. So I give you all open doors to come and share if you have a story that you want to share. We need to be edified by the body. It is the body that edifies the body. So we need you guys in this to share your stories. But again, serving or being a better neighbor, for a better term, it really starts with, Lord, how do I do this? Your word says in James, ask for wisdom and I will give it. So serving always, Lord, these are the people around me. This is where I'm finding myself consistently. It starts there. Lord, how do I do it? Because there's a fine line of just going around and helping everyone. And it also, there's a danger of them just putting out hands even further and not taking initiative. So it's really a wisdom thing for me. It starts with just, Lord, how do you see this? How can I serve? One of the stories was, I was mostly working in the evening, doing sessions in the evening, training in the evening, and I had a bit of time in the morning. And so Skurvebergh School asked me to come and speak English there, or not speak English, to come and teach English in the classroom. They didn't have an English teacher, and I said, well, okay, there's a need, I'm going to serve it. Just like the Samaritan, he walked past the person that was on the floor and it wasn't so ideal. And he could either say, no, well, I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to walk on and do my thing because it's my time and I don't want to put my extra effort and time in this. I said, okay. And I walked into the school and it was Dimakar. And I started trying to teach English, and then they asked me, do you not want to try to teach Afrikaans? And I said, luister hierso, as julle mal in julle kop, dit gaan nie lekker werk nie. Jy kan maar sien, ek is 'n Engelsman, ek kan nie nou Afrikaans. And but they said, just be there if you can, just so that the children just not going crazy. And so I was there in the classroom, and I just started identifying needs within the school. Just not trying too deep of, oh, what can I do now? And it just, yeah. You know, after school, these children don't have anything to do at the courses. Maybe let's put a basketball hoop up and start playing basketball in free time. It was just a basic need of just helping these Owens just to be busy after school so they're not getting up to mischief. As a result of seeing this need, I got to spend time with a bunch of guys. And as a result of that and doing it consistently, some of these guys are working with me full time now at the moment. They've given their lives over to the Lord. They know him passionately, they are learning and they are being discipled, and at the same time, they are discipling others in a school. And it was just simply a starting at a, well, yeah, this is something that needs to be done. And I'm, as the good Samaritan, he was walking, it says in the scripture, he saw the person and he responded. The other two walked past and they saw the person and they walked by. Maybe they were busy, maybe they didn't want to give their time, maybe they weren't less, ek weet nie. But the one of the realities of being a better neighbor is we need to learn to see. We need to look around us in these three places and wherever it is, and we need to learn to see. But more importantly, we need to learn to respond. And we talked last week about there's going to be a cost. It's going to cost us our time. It's going to cost us our effort. It's going to cost us, yes, a braai maybe, or a keier, or for what to call it is. It's going to cost us something. Counting the cost is a reality that we read in God's word. And I had to spend a little bit more time there instead of spending more time at home. And I started walking a road with these guys on the basketball court, and it had nothing to do with that basketball hoop and the playing of the basketball. They enjoyed it, and it's great. But my intention behind serving the need was to build relationship. So it's one thing to serve the need, but it's another thing to serve with the intention of building relationship. And so as a result of that, I'm looking back and I'm thinking, it's so basic. I just really need to serve a need, and as a result, who is there consistently, and how can I just ask them who they are? Ask them, what is your story? What is your dreams? How many friends and brothers and sisters, and who's your mom, or who are you staying with? And just being interested in the person that I'm with consistently. So the other one was, and I shared it last week briefly, there's a young girl that, you know, she's in the community, and we consistently just saw her there, and she didn't have any work, and she asked, can she just join us on what we are doing in the schools for 1 hour? We play sport at certain schools, doing coaching, etc., and Bible studies, and she asked, can she come with? And I said, well, if you just get to where you need to get, I can pick you up and come with. And I dropped off at home, and I saw the house situation, and I know that it's the daughter and the mother and an opa. And I'm not in a place where they can fix stuff at home. And I asked, well, yeah, is there anything that we can help with? You know, I'm a young guy. We've got a couple of young guys that's with us. Is there anything that we can help with? And she said, well, there's a window that's broken. And as a result of just dealing with this need and bringing her consistently with us wherever we were going, and just serving however we could, not wiping constantly where I don't need to wipe, but just serving the need where she cannot serve. Basic practical need. And as a result, consistently, we walked the road with her, built relationship, found out who she is. The other day, she looked at me and she said, yeah, Brett, ek is besig om verlief te raak om Jesus. I'm busy falling in love with Jesus. Simply because we were together. Simply because we are talking about what we are doing. Simply because I'm just doing what I'm doing and I'm expressing what God is doing. And she is just getting to taste, feel, see, and hear. And it comes as a simple result of just looking, what does this family need? Really basic. It's not this massive event or course that I'm trying to do with her. It's just being a better neighbor. I'm walking into my community. I'm there often. I'm seeing where she stays. I'm seeing the situation. I'm saying, I've got to serve here, but with the intention of building relationship. And as a result, she's given her life over to the Lord. She's loving Him passionately. She's being discipled. She knows the Lord, and she knows that He is good. This is basic stuff. So I've been wrestling with the idea of how can I become a better neighbor according to God's word. Who is my neighbors around me? And God made it very clear with the Good Samaritan story. He made it very, very clear. It's not complicated. So there's a couple more stories that we're going to share, and then we're going to just dig very briefly in a few practical things that we can ask ourselves, and we can learn just to identify the people around us. And again, I ask that question. If I had to leave tomorrow, if you had to leave tomorrow, wherever you are at, whether it is work or school or wherever you find yourself consistently, would you be missed as a result of who you are in the midst of that? As a result of the way that you operate, the way that you serve, the way that you encourage, maybe behind the doors, the way that you pray. That's also one thing that I've got to add in here, is that for that girl, we prayed for her consistently, just behind our doors. We went home, prayed for her just in my time of quiet time, I just remembered. So it cannot be separated from that. The same with these guys from the basketball. It's exactly the same. But it all starts with just being a better neighbor. Clayton, maybe you can come and share. And by all means, please, if you have a story to share of how somehow this connects or relates, please be courageous and come up and share.
Goeiemôre. Toe ons nou ge-worship het, toe het ek ook iets ervaar, maar ek het nou nie vorentoe gekom nie, want ek het geweet, ek gaan een spreekbeurt kry. So, ja, ek wil hê, allemaal van julle, steek gou julle hande op. Allemaal, please raise your hands. Ok, so as jy nog nooit hande opgesteek het in die kerkie, jy het so pas. Ok, so die van julle, ek het geervaar, die is van die ouens wat wonder, kom hier van die mense hande opsteek, Tannie Kote hiervoor, wat so, heel tyd hande. Ek wil hê julle moet sommer net dink aan 'n klein kindjie wat voor jou staan. Wat wil hê jy moet hom optel. Hoe staan daai kindjie?
Hy staan so, nê.
Sê pappa, mamma tel my op. Gee vir my 'n drukkie, gee my 'n soenie, gee my 'n bietjie liefde. En dit is hoekom hier van ons is wat hande opsteek, want ons is Jesus se kinders en ons sê Jesus, gee my net ons die skype het gou vinnig. Ons gaan vat net gou daai drukkie. Gee my net daai soenie. Gee my net daai liefde. Okay, so as ons nou weer praise and worship, jy weet, as jy 'n drukkie en 'n soenie wil hê, jy weet wat om te doen. Ek is gevra om sommer 'n bietjie te getuig oor die discipleship kursus wat ek nou bygewoon het die laaste 2 weke. So kry ek 'n WhatsApp boodskap en die boodskap lees iets soos, as jy nog nie hierdie kursus gedoen het nie, dan moet jy dit doen, dis al verpligtend. En ek is 'n bul, ek hou nie daarvan om in 'n kraal gedruk te word nie. Ek gaan na my vrou toe en ek sê, weet jy die mense hoe besig is ek? Jy weet, ek weet hulle hoe baie dinge doen ek. En jy weet, jy maak 'n klomp verskonings, want dis ons nou wat ons maar doen, hè. Ons is ons nou mens, maak 'n klomp verskonings. En sy vra toe vir my, is jy nou klaar? Ek sê, ja. En sy sê, nou wat, gaan jy nou gaan of wat? Ek sê, ja, ek gaan nou maar gaan, ek voel nou beter. Gelukkig kom ek toe nou hier by die kerk uit en dit word toe aangebied deur Anson, ons jeugpastoor, en hy begin toe vir ons vertel van hoe hy disippels maak. En hy inspireer my verskriklik baie, ek is opgecharged, die Here het hier 4 in my kom wakker maak, en hy sê daar so 5 dinge, die eerste een is hoe om te connect met mense, dan hoe om te identifiseer as hulle oop is om die evangelie te hoor. Hoe om het dan te deel met hulle, en hoe om hulle te koop, so dat disciples kan maak, want dit is toch maar die goal, is dat ons disciples maak, wat nog disciples maak, maar daar in die middel is een dingetje gebed, dit is die nummer 1 eindelijk, dit is die heel belangrikste, en dit slaan vir my soos 'n stoomtrein, en dit slaan my, ek het nog nooit vir hom gebed nie, en gelukkig kry ons geleentheid, voor ons nou loop, dat ons kan gou bid, nee, en ek sê, Here, stuur hierdie vis vir my, stuur hierdie vis, ek sal hom vul het, ek sal hom bag, ek sal hom tag, stuur net die vis, en net so voor ons nou vandag, sê Anson, as jy volgende week terugkom, en jy het die disipel gemaak, he, dan moet jy nie terugkom, jy bly by die huis, jy weet, nou kan jy sien die mense, die appelkar is deur mekaar, die mense is op hulle sene wees, en daar gaan ek uit, nou is ek so excited, ek deel met Judy. So ek wil julle, ja, daar laat met, gaan, as julle hier uitgaan, voor jy daai skaapbout uit die oond uithaal, voor jy nou die middagslaapie vang, gaan sê vir die, gaan sit by die Here en bid, en vra Here, wie moet ek disipel, wie kan ek disipel, en die Here sal vir jou gesigte wys, of 'n naam gee, skryf het neer, hou aan bid vir daai mens, gaan doen het, die Here gaan as, Anson het ook gesê, nee, hy vat homself elke dag uit sy uncomfort zone, sit hy homself in. Hy sê, want as hy in 'n comfort zone is, daar kan hy operate. Jy weet, hy is in beheer, dis al die familiere goed wat jy ken. Maar sodra dit 'n uncomfort zone is, dan is jy nie meer in charge. Die Here is in charge, net die Here kan dan met jou werk, hy doen dit. So, ja, net die klein trappie van gehoorsaamheid, en die Here het net hierdie ongelooflike ding kom doen in my lewe, en toes ek nou on top of the world, want ek is nou, jy sal gaan die brand, en ek kry 'n tannie daar in Pick n Pay, daar by die hoenderrak, waar by die neute en die wyn, die chips, jy weet nou precies waar, maar ek het die tannie lanklaas gesien, en ek weet wat in haar lewe aangaan, en ek vraag die vrou, hoe gaan het, en sy sê, sleg, ek is nog steeds deurtrek van die kanker, en ek ervaar die Heilige Gees sê vir my, bid vir haar, en ek sê, Here, is jy okay, hier, by die hoenderrak, ek kan nie hier bid, hier is mense, en ek ervaar, hy sê, kniel en bid, en ek sê, okay, maar nou bewe ek, amper soos wat ek nou bewe, en ek bid vir haar, en ek staan op, man, yes, en dis ongelooflik, dis soos die ou getuig, die Here, se presence is soos jening, man, dit is uniek, dit is soet, dit is ongelooflik, en ek sê vir haar, baie, en ek stap so in die rak af, en die duivel kom steel daai oomblik by my, en hy laat my so kyk, wie het my nou gesien, en ek is so disgusted met myself, nee, en ek staan al by die til, om te betaal, en ek ervaar die Here sê vir my, Clayton, hoe dood is jy? Is jy regtig dood vir Jesus? Het jy regtig gesterwe? En ek wil dit by julle los vandag, die tweede ding, vra jouself, hoe dood is jy? Hoe dood is jy? Vra dat die Here vir jou moet kom wys, is hy die begin en die einde, doen ons alles vir hom, is ons besig met sy werke, of is ons besig met ons eie werke, maar omdat dit van die Here se dinge was, was dit nie 'n klomp verskoning, so mense, ons maak tyd vir goed wat vir ons belangrik is, en jy moet jouself vra vandag, wat maak jy tyd vir, wat is vir jou belangrik, Baie dankie.
Goeie almal. Thank you. I was so encouraged last week during the preaching, and then it reminds me when I was I met Jesus in 1998, and then after that, when somebody spoke about to serve in the kingdom of God, we were just thinking that maybe we have to come after pulpit wearing suits and serve, and only to find out that is not good enough. Amen. Last week, I put this into practice. There is another neighbor there in Duli. I used to visit her. It's an old lady, very old. So she has a garden behind his house, and she planted some veggies and sell to the community. She got a small land there. So sometimes when I was there visiting her, she complained about when she watered his veg during the night, there is no light behind the house. She used to use his phone to light, and that was difficult for her. Because during the day, the water does not flow too much in the community. Then he preferred to use the water after 8 o'clock late. And then this touched me, and I said, I have to do something. And I went there, and I took some measurements to the wire to go to put a globe behind a house. And then I came here in town and bought some wire and 2 globes, another one for spare, and then switch also. And then I went there, I think it was Wednesday, and then I put wire and put the light and switch in the wall. And then I said, okay, ma'am, it's like it's working, but I will come late. I want to see you when you're watering at night. Then I went there. She stayed there with her granddaughter, her mother also. Then I went there late. He was busy watering. She was very happy. Like when they say, Bobo, we are so grateful to have you. We thank you so much. Like I felt so small, and I say, this is grace. This is God. It's not me. And then it is encouraging me, because sometimes really when we look so smart and thinking that it's good enough for us as Christian, it is not good enough. It is not good enough. I want to share scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Sometimes we don't have to speak a lot. Speak a lot about gospel. But our deeds make wonders. Sometimes when somebody see me walking around in Duli, then this is a man of God, this is a man of God, this is a man of God, and preaching, or sharing. Yeah, it's good, but not good enough. But when we do, when we sacrifice to help and serve people, that make wonders. Because even if after 2 years I will be at Lesotho, that lady will never forget me. There was a man of God here in Duli that helped me. Amen.
So, Brett, I'll just follow suit. And for Bobo, I'll try and do it in English. But also, we, on a Friday morning, we prayed together. And Normally we do it at Charlene Cathy's house at the Keer, and this Friday, particular Friday morning, it's on our farm at Morristad at Sybrand and Gwendoline's house. So when I got to the gate where I need to enter, I saw this truck there that was broken down, and when I stopped there, immediately a guy got out of the truck. And I rolled down my window and I said, is there anything that I can, this is now it's 5 o'clock in the morning, right? still dark. Is there anything that I can help you with, sir? Yes, my truck's broken down. Is there anyone that can help me? He said, yes, I know the guy. You know, Sybrand is the guy on our farm. So I'm going to the exact guy that you need at the moment. There's just one small thing. We're praying in the morning. So if you will gladly sit through our prayer meeting, then we are very willing to help you. You just have to wait a bit, you know. So I said, okay, his name is Jonathan. He'll get in, and he's in the car with me, and we go to Sybrand's house. So everyone's, Nantes is there, and Sybrand and Gwendoline, and yeah, Jonathan comes in with me, and everyone's, and we're just going on as if Jonathan has always been with us, right? So Jonathan, he drinks coffee with us. We normally start, and we chat and catch up with everyone, and then we worship, and we start praying. And Jonathan comes in at some point, and we pray, and we do lots of other things. And at some point, I just want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and ask Jonathan, have you ever given your heart to Jesus Christ? And he said, yes, many, many years ago. And but he's wandered off, and he's definitely not right with God at the moment. And we just ask him, well, do you feel ready today? Do you want to make right with God? And he says, you know, he's got this guy in Somerset West. He comes from Somerset West. Shaul is his name. And Shaul's been on his case like a long, long time. And just the other weekend, Shaul asked him again, so, Jonathan, are you ready to get right with God? And Jonathan said, no, he's not ready yet. So God sends Jonathan to the Kou Bokkeveld to spend overnight. He was so cold. The first thing he told me, his feet's dead. He can't feel anything. He is so cold. So we got him all heated up, and we gave them lunch, and it was amazing. Jonathan made right with God. He gave his life to God right there. So afterwards, I went off, and I finished the children, get them ready for school and everything, and Sybrand says, so they helped Jonathan, got his truck fixed up in no time, but Jonathan didn't want to leave. He was just hanging there. So everyone is still thinking, so why do we... Is there anything else? But Jonathan just wanted to still experience that presence of God. And for us, that was just the neighbor. And it's just once again, it's just open your eyes and ask God, just show me. Because it's there. It's definitely there. But many times we're so busy and so driven that we just don't see it. So that's the neighbors that come on our way, the Samaritan. But you know how lucky we are. My neighbors is Nantes and Kuti and Sybrand and Gwendoline, my physical neighbors, right? So I just quickly the first thing that I just want to raise is to have an impact on your neighbor, you have to spend time with him. Neighbors need our time. So if I don't prioritize spending time with my neighbors, it's really difficult for me to have an impact on them. And so spend time, but on the other hand, if you don't structure it in our lives, if it doesn't hit your diary, it's not going to happen. So that's just the way we've come to live. You schedule something into your diary, and you have to be intentional about it. I want to meet up with these people. So on a practical level for us, that can happen on a Friday morning when we see each other and we can pray together. So what I just want to leave with you is when we do get together as neighbors, many times our neighbors need us to invite the presence of God into their lives, to shift the atmosphere, because life is really tough. So it's not only for the people out there. The people in the body many times need us to come alongside them, to encourage them, and to stir up that faith again, because we are so close to our problems that many times we don't see. And we don't have the faith in there because we know the circumstances so well. So it takes someone from the outside to come and speak life over your problems and speak that praise over that problem for you to come and stir up your faith again. So I just want to encourage you that you, even your neighbors in the church, don't forget about them, that we stir up our faith, because when the one is weak, the other one is strong, and together God can move us on.
When God calls us to step out of our comfort zones, He's not calling us to be comfortable in the situation. He is calling us to be comfortable with Him and His will despite our situation.
Okay, so very practical examples. And that's what I love, is the practicality of it. And obviously there's a couple of things that we've heard, but just to highlight it again, it is a matter of seeing. And then bigger so is responding. Because Hermine could have just drove past like a lot of us do. He could have just seen the issue with the light and he could have just not done anything. But as a result of just serving a basic need, things happen. There's a ripple effect. And we need to know that there's always a ripple effect when we are serving in some way or another. Excuse me. So one thing that I've realized is the serving as the tool, it is just a natural way to build relationship. Something happens when you just serve a need. Instead of like, maybe you see that neighbor and you think, well, how can I get involved in his life? Or how can I find out his story? It's sometimes a bit awkward. You say, oh, God, I'm going to speak to this guy now. And I don't know what. It's awkward. It can be awkward. It can be terrifying. But going to him and serving a need that you've identified, listen, I just want to help with your garden. I see that you don't have a lawnmower. Can I just, and you do that. And as a result, it's a natural, beautiful way of just getting involved in someone's life. And I've seen that it works well. And then the other side is also, as a neighbor, it's not directed to a specific person or kind of people, whether believer or unbeliever. It's our neighbors, whether they are believing or unbelieving. Hermine shared it about being neighbors with Quitty and the cell group and etc. These are our neighbors. And we need to be better neighbors with ourselves in the midst of this. Yes, with the people that are not knowing the Lord for sure, we need to be serving. But it's not categorized to I got to be a better neighbor to the lost or this or that. No, it's just being a better neighbor. Straightforward and simple. Not because we want to reach some certain goal. No, because we are children of God and that's how children of God operate. Quite straightforward. One last story or two last stories. And I was on the receiving end of this. And there's Tani Anna. She helps at our house once a week on a Monday. And she's amazing, really amazing. We just get her once a week because that's when we can't get to what we need to get to. And she comes to me and she says, listen, Brett, I want to come on a Saturday and I want to do all the things that I don't get a chance to do. And I'm thinking, okay, that's my cool. But she said, Lisa mustn't know, my wife, Lisa. Sy mag nie weet nie. So you must for Lisa let uitgaan of ietsie doen en dan sy wil kom en sê, jy sê so vir seën, nê? Ek sê, ja, bless or whatever, a blessing. She said that she wants to do that. She wants to come and bless Lisa with all these little bits and bobs that she never gets time to do. And I'm thinking, okay, and obviously she said she wants to bring a couple of people with, and I said, well, yeah, the day salary is getting a bit high now. But dis reg, kom, and she said, but and I'm trying to think practically also now. I'm thinking, oh, how am I going to get Lisa out the house and then go pick her up in Nieuwedorp in Oppieberg and then come back and try negotiate this whole thing and then try get Lisa back before, you know, I'm thinking this is a logistical nightmare. And I said, yeah, I want to respect the fact that she wants to bless. So I don't want to just push it away and say, nee, dankie, this. But I'm thinking this is not practical. And she says, nee, jy worry. Jy moet net gaan. Gaan net. Ek het klaar my lift gekry, ek het klaar alles uitgesort. Ek soek nie geld nie, ek wil julle bless. Klaar. Finished and klaar. I'm thinking, yeah, this is unknown. I've never experienced anything like this, to be honest with you. But anyways, I take Lisa, we head to the mountains, and we go swim in the rock pools there with our children. And she comes with this huge team from Nieuwedorp. And we get back, and every single window, top to toe, every single little thing has been spotless clean. Then apart from that, she brought some guys so that they could fish our washing line because I've just never got time to get to it. So she obviously on Mondays hangs washing and she saw a need and think, hierdie ding is maar stikkend man, ek gaan nou dit regmaak. Want hierdie ou, hy gaan nie dit doen nie, so ek gaan 'n plan maak. And so she got someone to fix it. And we got back on Saturday and they disappeared before we got there. And Lisa walks in and she's thinking, yes, Brett, jy is oulik. When did you do this? And she's trying to process it because she's looking around and she hasn't said anything to me yet, but she's processing, it's yet gebeur hierso. And she's thinking, yeah, when did Brett get a chance to do all this? And I'm walking around, and anyways, I told her that it was Anna, and she kind of, for a while, she said, nee, dit kan nie wees nie. It can't be. This doesn't happen that often these days, that someone that doesn't have a high income will choose to say, listen, I want to come and bless you, and I'm going to bring a whole team to make sure that this is done properly. And as a result of her just serving basic needs, that probably could have been done, but she just saw it, and she just responded. She saw and said, well, let's do it. Like that Samaritan. As a result of this, our relationship has changed radically. There is such a depth within our relationship at the moment where we talk and pray and chat about God in such a natural, easy, okay way. It's not this awkward, let's try sit down and have a, you know, talk about the word, and that's okay. But something happened as a result of her serving. It made it just natural. It made it easy. It made it comfortable. So this tool of serving basic needs is such a beautiful tool to get involved with our neighbors. And Armin said, it takes time. Counting the costs, it's actually, to be honest with you, it's not a cost. If you really get involved, you start realizing that this is life-giving, according to the scripture also. And on the other side, I've seen it with us as a family. When we get so involved with ourselves and you know, we start identifying all our issues and the me, myself disease pops up and just shows us how bad we are and how where we are should be and where we are not and where we, me and me and me. It's disastrous. And the only way to cure that is when I serve. And when I serve, I realize I come alive. Something happens. Yeah, and it costs me time. It costs me effort. It costs me all that stuff that it costs me. But actually, it's not a cost at all. Because I've come alive, I've experienced God, I've seen Him in action. I've got to be I've got a privilege to be a part of it in some sort of way. And that is life-giving. It's really beautiful. The last story that I, just before I share, and before we close off, and it's got to do with the big why. What? Why? Why do we serve? Why should we make effort? Why should we find a need and serve it? And it's got to do with a story. So my wife and I, we headed up into the Bokveld. We saw this place for the first time, and we said, we want to be here. For starters, because it's beautiful. It's stunning up there. And then connected with that, we 100% believed that God was leading us there, and He had a plan. And we went to the Bokveld, and it was a massive faith step. And we got there, and I'm sure a lot of the Bokvelders thought, yes, hierdie Engelsman met hierdie lang hare, wat maak hy hierso? And it was the case. But there were some neighbors in the Bokveld that were good neighbors, that they saw need, and they neighbored us, and they opened their arms, and they saw, and they responded. And it wasn't a lot, but they were there. And as a result of that, as them serving, as just a neighbor, not because they wanted us to do anything or not to do anything, simply because these neighbors were children of God. And that's what neighbors do. We were enabled to live out this calling that God called us to. As a result of that, we can serve at schools where little children can have a foundation and be nurtured. As a result of that, we can disciple young guys and young girls that fall passionately in love with Christ and learn how to operate and live in this word because there was neighbors that saw a need and served it, and enabled us, the other neighbors, to live out fully. If those neighbors never did a thing, we might have turned around and dusted off our feet and said, this is just not working. There's just no way. But as a result of neighbors serving, and just basic needs, enabled a much bigger picture, us with a calling. And we need to know that whatever neighbor we are looking to serve, those places that we are at, we need to know that they have a purpose and a calling. And it's not just doing something because it's an oulik thing to do. Yeah, no, because there's a bigger picture. And if we can enable God's people to be God's people and to serve in His calling, then there's a ripple effect on other people, on students that have been showed who Jesus is and chosen to walk with Him, on little children who, you know, this is just an example, and this is our example. And we've experienced neighboring practically. You know, one of the needs was, die Engelsman met die lange hare, hy het 'n vriend nodig. And, you know, and I needed that. It was a basic need. So the serving is not necessarily, it can be a variety of things, I think. It is just a need, whatever it may be. If it's someone that needs to just have a cup of coffee at work, make it for him. If it's someone that's to be brought into a house and maybe stay for a weekend because he doesn't have a place to stay, or whatever it is, it can be from the basic to the most extreme. But if it's a practical need and you see a consistent walking with this person, then there's going to be glory. And this is why we do it. This is why I am a neighbor, is because my Lord is saying, this is good bread. This is how my children operate. Serve. Can you imagine a neighborhood or a community where neighbors serve one another? It will be incredible. It will be fruitful. So, I leave this with you. If you've got a pen or a paper, or if you've got a phone, and if you don't, if you've got a good memory, think about a neighbor, whoever it is. Maybe there's one, maybe there's a few. Write down their name and ask the Lord for wisdom according to James. Lord, how can I serve my neighbor? How can I be a better neighbor for this person? Or if it's a business, you own a business and your business is also a neighbor, how can my business be a better neighbor in our community? Then let's do it. Let's respond. Let's see and ask God for grace, because we need grace to respond. We need to just stop. We don't know what that Samaritan was up to. We don't know where he was heading to. We don't know if it cost him time or maybe, you know, a meeting or whatever the case may be, but he chose to stop and he chose to serve. And that broken person that was beat up, he was enabled as a result of this person serving to stand up and to keep going. Just how we were enabled by being served by our neighbors to keep going within the call that God has for us. And as a result of that, disciples are being made. God is glorified. We're in the midst of our fullness, and this is a privilege. And it was as a result of people serving us. And so how can we not do it too? So if you've got that name, I somehow want to pray for us just to finish off. I'm sure there's going to be coffee and tea afterwards. Please join us for that. And yeah, let's be better neighbors from here on out. Lord Jesus, we love you. And we know that we can love you because you first loved us. We heard now in Romans and we sang the songs that your love never fails, Lord, and that it's passionate. And out of this, we love you and we want to love our neighbors. We want to be better neighbors, Lord, where we can serve practical, basic needs, where things are done, but also people are reached, where people are encouraged and dreams are met. Because we know that every individual that we come across, you have got a plan, Lord. And we want to be part of the solution. We want to be better neighbors, Lord, so that we can build up, glorify you, see you pleased in the midst of the everyday. Help us to live a life of being a neighbor and not just waiting for these small moments. Help us to consistently seek you and ask for wisdom and pray for these that come across our paths. We really love you, Lord, and we're so grateful that we can be a part of what you are doing, but we need grace. We need grace upon grace to be enabled to be like you, to walk like you the way that you did in Jerusalem, Lord, to serve the needs so that there will be breakthrough. And whatever that may be, I ask that you will give us all wisdom this morning to see that, identify it, and respond. Thank you that we can pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.